Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me again, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. I am so glad to be back. You know, college football season is one of those things I always look forward to, but I have to say this offseason, it's really snuck up on me. Like, it honestly feels surreal that we're going to have football this Saturday. I just feel like with all like the changes and everything we keep hearing about and everything in the news about realignment or, you know, expansion or however they're going to do it, it's almost like I've gotten the sense of like fatigue where I just don't even want to think about it because we don't know what's going to happen. I want to disconnect from it because I don't want to have to worry about it, because I really just at the end of the day want to watch good college football.
Yeah.
And I just want the best system for the sport, right?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a kind of a big talking point today is kind of it, this offseason has felt weird. You know, we're kind of in a rough spot, I feel, in college football. But I'm hoping the games are good, like you said. Like, I'm looking forward to the actual football for sure.
There are a lot of great scheduled games. We're going to not go into them on this episode. This is going to be kind of the off-season, kind of recap the off-season real quick episode. You know, we've had major life changes. So, I mean, obviously, I think pretty much everybody knows this is going to be my first college football season with an actual outside of the womb baby. So that's going to be interesting. I'm hoping she likes college football.
Yeah. So what's your plan? Are you going to like indoctrinate her?
There is a right.
Is her first words going to be Roll Tide?
Hopefully she's starting to say like hello with the H sound. So, but we'll see if we can kind of pivot that to a Roll Tide. Started with the R's.
Right.
Going roll. That could be easy for her to say.
Roar, war, eagle. Kind of. No, not that.
Your thing is a little bit harder to do. Wisconsin's a little bit.
A lot of syllables. You know. But that's exciting, Randy. That's exciting. Are you? I know you tend to go to the games. Are you not going to as many games this year because of the infant, or what's the plan for that?
We're going to see how our schedules pan out, but because my parents ultimately help a lot with childcare and they have a camper that they use to tailgate, there's a good chance we'll be able to take her.
Okay.
We'll be able to kind of work that out. And honestly, a big part of it. So this is also what makes college football special, is the fact that it really is like a family event. We can take her there and she will have a good time, not even accounting for the fact that it's going to a football game. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I see like there's very small children at games pretty frequently. So.
Right. And there's all the stuff like outside the stadium. We can take her to the quad. There's so many like children's events that I'm actually pretty excited to take her to. She may be a little young for them, but you know, that's how I got into college football, was when I was a little kid, my parents would take me to the games and there were so many fun things to do with the quad before the game.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know my family is coming up quite a bit. Two games this year, actually. And my nieces are coming. And I know they always have a fun time with like the mascots and the inflatables and too much fun stuff. So you're right. We're looking at the positives here, Randy. We're looking at the positives of college football. It should be fun. It should be a fun sport.
Absolutely. So I actually have a bit of a surprise segment for you that I did not tell Jimbo about before the episode.
I'm ready.
So I messaged some of our friends and listeners for their opinion of their team and what they kind of think kind of going into the upcoming season.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to read some of these and we can comment on these. It's like a little bit of a team preview. What's just basic thoughts.
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess I'll just go down the list. I'll start with Dilbert. Dilbert is a fan of the Miami Hurricanes.
Of course, yeah.
He says, I'm pretty bullish on us this year. Our offense will have a drop-off, but I don't think it'll be as big as everyone expects. Our offensive line should be better than last year, and last year it was already really good, which is Mario Cristobal's, you know, specialty. Mm-hmm. The defense should show improvement. We spent pretty heavily in the portal and brought in a new DC. My biggest concern is our schedule. Our bye week scheduling is awful, and we have 7 straight ACC games to close the season, including 2 cold weather games at the end. They do live in paradise.
Yeah. Oh, man. Miami. I mean, it'll be fun to see them, because last year, you know, with Scam Ward, they were so dynamic. You know, we commented all season last year on how just much fun they were to watch. And I'm hoping regardless of good or bad, like, I want them to continue to be fun. Like, I think the sport is better when Miami is fun to an extent. So that's kind of my hope for Miami this season.
I remember when the word swag was really in style, and I feel like their program should really continue to lean into that kind of, like, fun. But just be fun to watch.
Be fun.
I know with Mario Cristobal, his whole thing is he's an amazing recruiter, but on the field, he never seems to be able to get over, like, that 10-win, 11-win hump.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be important for him to do that, and but just keep momentum going, especially in the portal era.
Yeah.
You see a lot of people think that recruiting doesn't matter as much these days, which to a small extent is true. Mm-hmm. But recruiting high school is still super important. Development is super important. You just have to find ways to keep who you develop.
I agree. I mean, certainly I think sustainability in a program is a big thing. I mean, I've seen that with Wisconsin. We've fallen off in large part because we lost so many guys to the portal. With Miami, though, I mean, it's a very attractive destination. I think they're always going to be pretty easy to recruit in. You know, it's certainly a hotbed for talent as well. But like you said, development, I don't really see Miami as a program that's historically developed all that well. And that seems to hold them back from kind of taking that next step, you know, to being like a serious contender. So I guess we'll see how it goes out this year.
Right. And so next up, we have Chip, the resident UCLA fan. Yep. There's some buzz around the program right now because we landed the big fish in Nico Iamialava.
I'm a Leva
of Tennessee. Exactly. And I remember, this is my addition, I remember him doing Tennessee kind of dirty, which I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. And demanding money, threatening to sit out the playoffs and that. Anyway, Chip goes on to say, a lot of people think he's the best quarterback UCLA has had since Brett Hundley set all school records back in 2014. They also have the largest by size offensive line we've ever had, and it's been our biggest Achilles group for years. So the hope is they could put together something for Nico to make plays. Foster overhauled his entire staff and gave the reins on offense to the guy from Indiana. So we'll see how they pan out. Defense will be the usual above average. Ceiling is probably a fringe playoff spot, and floor is probably 4 wins. Expectation is a bowl game where Deshaun's on the hot seat. He has hefty expectations.
Yeah,
too bullish expectations.
I don't really see him as a playoff team, I'll be honest, Chip, but I do see them making a bowl game. I think that looking at their schedule, it is pretty manageable. They have a couple of unwinnable games in Ohio State and Penn State, but other than that, I think they could win just about against any team on their schedule. I don't know, like UCLA, man, he mentioned the offensive line being bigger and better. I'm curious to see that, because to me, like, that implies UCLA is, like, adopting to this Big Ten run-heavy style of football, which is hard to imagine, but I'd love to see.
I kind of thought that, too, and that's actually a good sign for the head coach. Like, a good sign for the fan base when it comes to evaluating the head coach. Like, okay, he's trying to adapt to what they're actually doing instead of being stubborn. So that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
So next up we have one of our favorites, Saxo Steve. He hit me with this quote that was unknowable and spot the ball. In this transfer portal era, it's quite difficult to know where your team is from year to year. Add in a new coach, the return of the prodigal son, Rich Rodriguez, and all we know is the following: culture. Rich Rodriguez preaches a hard edge where we are going to play hard and be physical. We will be doing the punching, not taking the punches. This is my own addition. I do remember West Virginia under Neil Brown being kind of soft, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
and they would fold late in games. I just noticed that personally. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he goes on to say, Rich Rod has been saying the right things. We might have a real defensive coordinator in Zach Alley from Oklahoma, but it all comes down to Pitt on 9/13. Can he avenge the 13-9 loss from 18 years ago? I like how that's also like the date for the game is the same score.
They definitely did that on purpose.
This is just like too good of a storyline. Anyway, that's how we're measuring the season. Beat Pitt. Overall, I think we're a team that can compete for a bowl. The Big 12 feels wide open, which it always
does. You know, he brings up a good point of culture. Like, I'd like to see West Virginia develop a really solid culture, a return to form, if you will, because I would argue one of the big problems with the Big 12 is there is kind of a lack of culture right now across the board. You know what I mean? Like, there aren't any, like,
yes.
there aren't teams with like identities like you'd find in the SEC or Big Ten. And I think that's kind of holding them back on like a national level to an extent. So I'd like to see West Virginia, of all Big 12 teams, to take, you know, to take that role kind of.
Their conference truly does embrace chaos from year to year, and not only their conference standings, but in how their teams play, which I find interesting. From top to bottom, the Big 12 is probably one of the most fun conferences to watch and the most fun conference race to pay attention to just from a neutral perspective, just because it is always so wide open every year.
For sure.
I mean, for all we know, Colorado is going to randomly be still amazing under Deion.
I hope not. But yeah, I hope not.
They got a five-star quarterback. Who knows? We'll see. I mean, he stayed after Shador and his other son left and after what's-his-face, Heisman winner. I can't even think of his name.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter. Excuse me. Anyway, next up we have Posty, the resident Indiana fan. Indiana will make the playoffs off the back of Fernando Mendoza, Cal transfer demon. Turn on the tape, he is a demon. Returns most of the weapons, returns the key defensive players, D'Angelo Pons, who was an all-Big Ten corner first team. O-line has improved through transfers. They don't play Ohio State in the regular season. They get Illinois at home. So he thinks 2L team at the most. That is very bullish.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's tough because, like, I so want to talk trash against Indiana. But there's just this sad reality where they did actually make the playoffs last year. So it's tough.
I think he's right to talk up this team. I mean, it's going to take sustained success for, like, five plus years, 10 years to really kind of get over that hump for a program such as Indiana. Like, I'm just going to use your program as an example. With Wisconsin, I feel like they would be able to develop everything they need from a program standpoint to be true contenders much quicker than a program like Indiana. You have more things in place, but they're going to have to sustain it to really prove it to recruits, prove it to boosters, prove it to their local fan base to be more involved.
The fans, they're like Notre Dame. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sell in state even. So
I don't know. Wait, Indiana's not in Chicago.
Oh my God.
You saw what I did there.
Got the jokes.
Right. Next up, we have Lobro, resident Florida State fan. FSU will be better than last season. I have no doubt about that.
No, that's
pretty easy. 2-10 would be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah.
We made some exciting moves in the portal, and overall, we got better in every position group. I think we could finish anywhere between 4 and 9 wins. It will ultimately depend on quarterback play from Boston College transfer Thomas Castellanos, our experienced offensive line, and our young but possibly explosive defensive line. Extra stuff here in case you want to include more than a simple TLDR. FSU opens against Alabama, plays at Clemson, at Florida, and hosts Miami. These are all preseason top 20 teams, and I don't expect us to be any of them. Notable transfer players include USC transfer wide receiver Deuce Robinson, who is a 6'6 wide receiver,
Deuce.
And Tennessee transfer Squirrel White. I remember him. He is very fast.
His real name?
Excuse me.
His name is actually Squirrel?
I honestly have no idea. I don't think it is.
Wild. Okay.
Spoiler alert. They also have an Alabama transfer, Boydell Williams, who I remember is returning after an injury-riddled 2024 and will look to be RB1 this season. On defense, the linebacking group looks rough. There's no getting around that. It'll be our weakest spot as a team. All in all, I'm locking in a 6-6 season. Honestly, I don't think he's bullish enough on his team, but he is pretty fairly bullish. He's optimistic. I'm seeing some optimistic takes here.
Mm-hmm. I think 6-6 is pretty fair, if not like a 7-5 is maybe where I'd lean. Like, there's no way they're going to be as bad as last year is how I see it. They're probably not going to be great, but I think they'll be like above average.
It's pretty hard to be worse than 2-10.
Yeah, this is kind of a rebuilding year and just get your footing for the next season. That's kind of how I see this for Florida State.
I have to make a note here. It seems like everybody I've spoken to, it seems extremely bullish, which is interesting in the transfer portal era. I do think getting transfers and having the transfer portal gives people a lot more optimism than they normally would, because it's like, oh, we can look at all these experienced players we just got. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to miss, right? Somebody's got to make some wrong portal additions. Somebody's going to lose some players they didn't expect to make a big impact or be big impactful players that they realize after the fact. You know what I mean?
I've been on the wrong side of this for 2 years in a row now. So yes, I'm well aware of transfers not working out well.
Another note I wanted to make, you know, with him predicting 6-6, and I think they'll be a lot better than that. I feel like people often factor in last season's results too much when predicting next season. But on the same token, these same people will say that the transfer portal makes everything so unpredictable year to year. I'm not singling out anybody who's I've already talked about. They're not the ones. But I'm just saying in general, people will talk about how unpredictable it is year to year, but then factor in last season's results so heavily into saying, like, it's, you know, an awful thing to predict Oklahoma will actually have a good season. Sure. That's just an example.
Yeah.
So I just find that interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, at the end of the day, this entire sport is unpredictable. That's kind of why we love it. But I think, you know, for what it's worth, man, I'll say one more thing on this subject. I'm kind of curious, like, long term, I think after maybe another 5 or so years of this new NIL transfer portal era, we'll have a bit of a clearer picture of kind of what to expect from teams. You know, for what it's worth, this is still kind of uncharted territory, so we're still kind of making sense of a lot of these things at the moment.
Right. Anyway, moving on to Jen, resident Penn State fan. Jen says, I think this is going to be the last Natty Run season for several years. Returning quarterback, returning top three running back room with a great new running back coach. He's a running back coach who developed Bijan Robinson, Ezekiel Elliott, and others. Top five offensive line, top 10 defensive tackles, and a great OC-DC combo. I think the wide receiver room is a mystery, and our defensive ends aren't as good as last year, but they're still great. The fact of the matter is that Penn State can't really compete with top 10 schools for NIL and top 20 schools for a top quarterback recruit. The stars are aligning, and this is pretty much it. I think it's going to be a very long time until we'll see the talent we have now, and I don't even think we can get this talent again if NIL was incorporated earlier. I don't think it's Franklin's fault if we get the Natty. We don't get the Natty, but I also wonder if Penn State can even get a Natty ever again if we don't get one this year.
So
that is an interesting take.
That's the most doomer take you'll ever read from a fan whose team is ranked number 2 currently in the AP poll.
I have to say, you know what this reminds me of is, I remember the 2023 March Madness run when Alabama was the number 1 overall seed, and we got beat in the Sweet 16. And I remember, you know, after that March Madness, after us getting knocked out in the Sweet 16, thinking that was our chance. We have our best ever player. There's no way, like, we just missed our opportunity. But again, the sport is so unpredictable. College basketball is equally as unpredictable, if not more so, that you can't look ahead like that. I don't think that's necessarily the right way to look. You never know what's going to happen. You never know, you know, how things are going to stack up in the future. Penn State's NIL is not bad.
Yeah, from an outside perspective, they're great. Honestly, for like Big Ten standards, they're really good. Like they're only behind maybe Ohio State and Oregon. Like they're fine. You'll be fine, Jen. It's gonna be okay.
Just because you have all these great players returning next year doesn't mean the year after you aren't also going to have great players that are either being developed. You make some portal additions, like the. They had to become top five by being great. Like they just, they came in like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, the brutal reality, Jin, like, well, let's just be real for a moment here. We already know Penn State's going to go 10-2. They're going to lose to Oregon and Ohio State. They'll win every other game. They'll make the playoffs. They'll probably be like a 4-8 seed. Probably. And they'll lose to a top five team. Like, that's what it is, man. Like,
I mean, that's what's probably going
to
happen.
It is what it is, you know. You have to understand, Jen, most fans would take that. I would take that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
I feel like what Jen's problem here is mostly the fact that it's got to be frustrating to not be able to get over that hump, but be right there every season.
Literally,
like, what do we got to do?
Yeah, every single season, Penn State, they're the same team. Like, that's what I see. They're the same exact team, so. I don't know, man. I'd like to see him get over the hump, but
I'm saying it's not going to be NIL necessarily that gets him over the hump. I think it's, I don't want to say a James Franklin issue,
like a culture,
because
thing.
He's got you to this point.
Yeah.
But it is ultimately on him, like, to make it happen.
It took Michigan a long time to get over the hump with Ohio State, but it happened. Like, it's not impossible, but it's there. Like, it is a challenge. I think it's a mental challenge for those players who just, like, can't win the big game. Eventually they can. But until then, it's a losing streak.
Yep. Next up, we have Hash Brown 132. Shout out. resident South Carolina fan. I think Lenora Sellers leads us to a high-powered offense, and our defense is a little worse than last year. We go 9-3 and missed playoffs again. Yep. I remember playing South Carolina last year, and they are a really good team.
Kind of spooky, would you say?
Very spooky. They will get you if you are not paying attention, especially. Mm-hmm. I think 9-3 sounds about right. But they're like, they play, from what I could tell, they play tough. They know how to sustain drives. Mm-hmm. I remember how annoying it was because I think we didn't get the ball until like 5 minutes left in the third quarter to start the second half. And it was so frustrating to watch.
Yeah. Just killing the clock. I will say this. One thing I really like about South Carolina, he mentioned him, Lenora Sellers, their quarterback. Representation matters, folks. He is, to my knowledge, the only starting quarterback in college football who wears glasses. And that gives me a lot of hope for my life as a visually impaired person. So I'm definitely rooting for the Cox.
Go Cox. Shout outs.
Go Cox.
Next up, we have one of Jimbo's favorite teams, Me Too, the resident Minnesota fan. And by the way, I'll just let you know, I said, P.S., I'll be the one reading it, so don't hold back any snark you may have towards Wisconsin. Okay. Anyway, he goes on to say, I think we've got a favorable schedule and we're easing into it. Lots of change on the offensive line and a new quarterback, but very promising. Bringing back multiple All-Americans and all Big Ten talent. Depth isn't great in the trenches, but we're in pretty decent shape. Ceiling 10-2, floor 8-4, 8-4, 7-5. Wisconsin should be easy pickings. I have zero faith in Billy Edwards or their defense. I'll be stunned if Fickell is employed after the season. Wow. And to him, I say, I'll be stunned if PJ Fleck is employed by Minnesota after the season, because it's going to be hilarious when he goes to Michigan.
It is a fun situation for me, I will say.
And thanks their program.
Because like it's sort of a win-win, I guess, is how I see it. Like, on one hand, if Minnesota does really poorly, that's great because I hate them and I want them to fail. On the other hand, if they do succeed and they do go like 10-2, like he's suggesting, PJ Fluke is gone. He's PJ flying to Michigan, like you mentioned, or Tennessee.
But somewhere. Don't you want them to keep PJ Fluke forever just so you can like make fun of him?
The thing is, so like, you gotta understand, like he's such a clown. And in a way, like I want the rest of the country to understand this. And I don't think they grasp it quite yet because he's at a program that unfortunately the college football world loves and defends. But if he was at a place like Michigan, for example, a place that's very easy to hate, there's a lot of haters of Michigan, right? His stupidness would be amplified, and I think people would finally wake up and realize, oh wait, this guy's a jerk. This guy's he's a narcissist. He is a snake oil salesman, if you may. He's not real. He's not authentic, and I it's just a matter of time. Like, I have faith, Randy. I know that I will get the last laugh on this. So have fun. Have fun, M12. Have fun. That's fine.
I feel like that's the most optimistic I've ever heard you talk about college football, or just, like, about a team.
I really believe that time is on my side in this case. So,
all right. Should we talk about, you know, some college football playoff proposals we've seen in the offseason? Just try to sum it up as best we can.
I'll let you. Dude, I'm honestly, for the fans, this is true. I haven't been paying attention. I've made a conscious choice to not pay attention because it fills me with existential dread. The kind we had kind of talked about at the very beginning of the show. So I'm happy to talk about it, but I'm out of the loop. I'm just warning you now, Randy.
Okay, I'll bring you into the loop a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, there's a bunch of expansion proposals, and they want to create... The Big Ten and SEC want to have, I think, 4 auto bids each, and then give 2 to the ACC, 2 to the Big 12, and then 1 to the Group of 5, and then there's whatever's left.
Hate it.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that many auto bids per conference. I don't know about that. I think the worst one I saw was some proposal that we don't know if this is official, but the Big Ten actually proposed this, and it was an expanded format where the Big Ten gets 7 auto bids, the SEC gets 7 auto bids. I know, right? And then the ACC and Big 12 each get 4, and then there's whatever's left. And it's like, okay, that's a little silly. I don't feel like top 7 of a conference that's got 14, 16
drops off pretty quickly. in any conference.
That's, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to hold back and say, no, like our top four of both conferences is probably better than the number one of a lot of other conferences, but that's just getting silly.
I was thinking about this.
You're better than your conference. We already know how good you are. There's no reason for you to be in the playoffs.
We're kind of, what sucks now is I feel like in a way we've kind of positioned ourselves to have the worst of both worlds. And so what I mean by this is I'm getting to the point, Randy, honestly, where I'd almost be in favor of just scrapping the entire concept of subjectivity in this sport and going strictly off of wins and losses like every other professional sport. And the reason is this. There's only one reason, Randy, why I say this. The regular season, weeks 1 through 12, have been so greatly devalued because of all this playoff shenanigans that I it's to the point where if we just went straight off of who has the most wins in their conference gets in, the regular season would matter more. Am I crazy in saying this, Randy?
I agree and disagree. The problem with that is you would need a very centralized body.
The NCAA. You need some type of association of national collegiate athletics to dictate that kind of thing.
It's just not, it's too unrealistic.
But we're heading that direction,
really,
Randy.
Think about that.
We're heading the direction of the Super League. And if we had a proper Super League of 64 teams, then you could theoretically start, you know, fracturing this into divisions and, you know, kind of make it geographic again. That's going to happen eventually is how I see it. And until then,
that's what happened in the early part of the sport is the conferences eventually became way too big and they split off. And like that could very well happen again if the Super League doesn't come first. As far as the regular season mattering, I think it still matters. Like it's just shifted which games matter. And if anything, there's more games that matter.
But they matter. Like, because, I guess I'm not trying to call you out, Randy, because we all know the story of last year was one particular game. But there was a time not that long ago, back in my day, where when, if Bama was to lose to Vanderbilt, that was it. That was it. And I know you guys didn't make the playoffs, but like, you know what I mean, man? Like Ohio State lost to Michigan and then went on to win the national championship. It feels wrong. Like they should have been eliminated.
I tend to agree. You know? I tend to agree. I'll say the only caveat was that game for us instead became the Oklahoma game. And I feel like, you know, I'm not going to relive that game, but I feel like people enjoyed watching that weren't Alabama fans.
Yes, I can attest. Yeah.
And I don't think it takes away from the Vandy loss because even like a one loss Alabama, even if it's Vandy, we're still in.
But like, I guess why I bring it up is, you know, we've got this, not to skip ahead too far, but week one, there's a massive matchup of Ohio State versus Texas. Like that might be the game of the year on paper, right? But it doesn't matter. Like both teams are going to make the playoffs ultimately. And I guess that's the part of it that I just wish we could solve in some capacity. Like I feel like...
No, I completely see what you're saying. We are seeing these huge games on paper be scheduled, but then it's just kind of like, well, what does the outcome matter?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think over time it'll find a way to resolve itself because the one thing that's constant is change. Like this current 12-team format isn't going to be here for long. And I imagine the sport's going to look even more radically different 10 years from now, for better or worse. But regardless, along the way, there's going to be a lot of growing pains like this. And I don't know, man. Like, I know I'm not alone in feeling this way. The sport is not in a healthy spot right now. And it's definitely getting to the point where, like, I'm just, like, less interested in kind of the off-season drama, you know, because of it. And it sucks to be in that position, man, as, like, a diehard college football fan.
Well, like this is what I said earlier. There's so much off-season drama that you're just fatigued, and you realize none of this drama actually impacts things the way previous off-season drama did.
Yeah.
And I'll say, as a fan of the sport, you know, apart from just my team, what I've really been enjoying watching. What I enjoyed watching last year were some of those new kind of fringe playoff teams in their final games, especially considering my team was in the playoff hunt, really trying to back their way in.
Yeah.
It became fun to watch some of these games. It became fun to watch Boise State, see if they could pull it out at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Those kinds of games. So there's still a lot of great football to watch. And if anything, it's really cool and special to see a team like Boise, Arizona State, you know, really have their shot at the playoffs.
That was fun. And I mean, I agree with that. I think like the playoff hunt is definitely interesting. It's almost unfortunate. Like the most boring parts are like the top 10 now, I guess. Like it,
exactly.
Like,
I
they're all interchangeable in my mind now. Like Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Georgia, they're the same team as far as I'm concerned, you know? And that's kind of a bummer.
They're going to make the playoffs, and it's just going to go from there, plus whatever Cinderella, see if they can get a lucky draw.
Right. The G5 hunt is interesting, though. I agree with that. There was a pretty interesting G5 race last year, and I kind of expect more of that this season. So I guess that's one thing to kind of focus on if you're frustrated at the state of the sport.
Should we go ahead and go on to talk about actual football now? I think we should.
I guess we could.
Guess we could. We really only have one game.
Come on, game, folks.
it's week zero. You know, you get what you get. Right. So it's going to be Iowa State and Kansas State being played in Ireland. Iowa State with Matt Campbell has become a pretty solid program. They went 11-3 last year. They won the famous Pop-Tarts Bowl with Cam Ward playing for half of it.
Yeah.
Kansas State went 9-4 last year, and they beat Rutgers in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Okay. You know, it's tough. Like, I'm not trying to get into, like, conference superiority or anything, but, like, it's – I think it's sad that I hear a team goes 9-3 in the Big 12, and I think they're okay. You know, like, these teams are okay. It's like, I wish they were better for what it's worth. But there's just not a single team in the Big 12 that I look at, and I'm like, wow, that's a serious threat for the national title. You know what I mean? So maybe one of these two will surprise us this game. I don't know.
But I think a lot of that comes from their conference. Like, the way their conference plays discourages developing a true identity as a team. Mm-hmm. And that's going to hurt these teams when it comes to an actual playoff. The closest thing to a Big 12 team with an identity was Arizona State with Cam Scadaboo and their running game. And they had a tough quarterback. Like, they had a tough, gritty team.
Yeah.
That was an identity. And you saw them win the Big 12, eke it out at the end of the season, go to the playoff, almost beat Texas. Really,
that was an amazing game.
When I say almost beat Texas, they were a 4th-16 away from beating them.
That was close. And so, I mean, for me, I guess, like, in the Big 12 hunt, it is kind of Kansas State, Iowa State, Arizona State. Those are the big three that come to my mind. And so, I guess for what it's worth, like, this, crazy to think, but this game could have, like, long-lasting implications in the Big 12 hunt. I think certainly it's going to establish a front runner. Whoever wins this game is probably going to be one of the favorites moving ahead into week one. So, in that regard, it's pretty important.
Jimbo, you should know better at this point. You should never say that. You should never say who is in the hunt for the Big 12, because we all know it's going to be like the second to last place preseason team.
You think so? Like, maybe like UCF or something?
Yeah.
Totally random.
Let's go ahead and look at who the second to last team in the Big 12 preseason is. Arizona. Okay.
Dude, I could see it. I've seen Arizona
State. Why not? They have.
It's like claim to fame.
I forgot who their new coach is, but they had
wasn't that
decent
like a big
past few years.
Coaching carousel with like the Big 12 this year in Arizona. Like, man, it's all. It's
Jed Fish went to Washington after DeBoer left for Alabama.
I mean, that was a couple years ago. Okay, that's come back to me now. Man, yeah, the Big 12. I don't know. My goal for the Big 12 this year, my hope is that it's just not Colorado. That's kind of my only like concern, is I just don't want Colorado to win.
I want it to be Colorado. Okay. I just want to see Deion piss everybody off.
He's done it. He succeeded.
I love the chaos, man. I love chaos when it doesn't involve my team in a negative way.
That's fair. We got curious. A comment also real quick. I think we have to talk about this. This is actually one of the few offseason stories that stood out to me. Deion Sanders. Prayers up, folks. Do we have any updates on him? He had his bladder removed because of like cancer.
He had
or
his bladder removed. So I think he was declared cancer free. Okay. He had some type of bladder cancer.
That's good.
So very happy for him. Prayers for him and his family, of course.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just wild. The, you know, life comes at you fast. And so
See, to me, this is why I kind of like Deion, because he's not a snake oil salesman like PJ Fleet. He actually loves the game of football. I can tell he loves coaching. He stayed when his kids and Travis Hunter left. He continued recruiting. He seems like he's actually trying and not just there to, you know, coach his kid and then leave. Like, it actually seems like he's trying, and I can respect that. I know a lot of people have opinions on his sound bites and all that stuff, and it's like, look, every coach is gonna, you know, say dumb things, especially an inexperienced one when it comes to handling the media. Mm-hmm. He's inexperienced as a coach, but not, you know,
I get that. I
as
get
a player.
And he certainly has earned like a lot of his reputation as an athlete and the presence. Like, I understand. So just know that when I clown on Dion, you know, it's, in hindsight, I think a lot of my hatred towards Colorado was because of Shador. And I do stand by that. So the Shador hate will continue if we do venture off into NFL territory here.
He's cocky like his dad, but in the wrong
path. He hasn't earned it yet, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. So, last segment before we both have to get off here.
Okay.
Do you have a quick, you know, Wisconsin season preview prediction?
Okay, I will say this. People have been talking about floors and ceilings. I'm dead serious when I say our floor is about 2-10. And I'm not even joking. And I think our ceiling, like, absolute best case scenario is a repeat of 5-7. I think Fickell's gone, folks. I really think, like, this is probably the year that he breaks. So, pray for me. Pray for me, folks, when I'm at Camp Randall.
I don't think it'll be that bad. You have a new offensive coordinator. You're not going to do that dumb dairy raid crap anymore.
Dairy raid was a mistake. It's true. But here's the problem, man. Like, honestly, like, it sucks. Because even if we do improve, even if we're a better team than last year, I think we might have a worse record because our schedule is brutal. Just
how could it be worse than last year? You played 3 number one teams.
And we almost beat Oregon, but they choked. And it's just... I fully expect us to, you know, it's a classic Fickell thing where we'll play really tough against good teams, lose, but play tough, and then just completely crap the bed against way inferior competition in the Big Ten. And I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to go well.
I think the last thing I'm going to say about it is I'm very pleased to see that you guys are actually going to try to go back to typical Wisconsin football, which you never should have gotten away from in the first place. As for Alabama, I'm not gonna say anything. I can't be the one to say it, but the game this circle is gonna be at Georgia on September 27th.
I mean, of course.
And we also play LSU. We're gonna need to play Oklahoma. We have to play at South Carolina, and of course, we're gonna play at Auburn. And it does not matter all the stuff about Freeze, which I didn't get a chance to just lay into them. I'll go next week.
Next week, okay.
Awful the recruiting's been.
Yeah, you've got actually a pretty tough schedule here, especially near the end of the season, finishing off nearish with Tennessee, at South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma. That's a pretty tough stretch. So, but the thing is, again, you could go like 10-2 and be just fine. I guess like that's kind of, I think about any team in the SEC or Big Ten, if you can make 10-2, you're in the playoffs. So, do you think you can make 10-2, Randy? Can you tell me that much?
I think we'll make 10-2.
There you go. It's official. All right. Well, Randy, this was fun, dude. We're kind of bad.
We should do this every week.
We should do this every week. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Folks, thank you for listening to the Jim Podcast. As always, this has been a fun time. We're looking forward to a full season of this. Season 5, folks. Season 5 of the Jim Podcast. Until next time, folks. Roll Tide.